This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com. This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Part of the Ringer Podcast Network, powered by Spotify, coming to you Wednesday night. You're probably listening to this on a Thursday. Mikey Meatballs here producing this disaster of a show. And joining me as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds of D3, Harry, Brother Bry, and Darren the Pauly Kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
What's up, Sal?
What's going on, buddy?
Guys, I am getting back. Have you heard of Las Vegas? Some say it's the gambling capital of the world. I spent my Monday afternoon there. No, Monday night. I don't even know when I went there. I went there Monday night. I'll tell you what I did. I flew at 6:30. I landed around 7:30. We were there to pull a hidden camera prank on my Aunt Chippy. She fell for it. She got very angry. She got very upset. You'll be surprised to learn. Yes. So that worked out. That's going to be on Jimmy Kimmel Live sometime soon. By the way, I get there Monday night. I go with the crew to have dinner. Then we leave at 6 in the morning. We get in a van to go to this trophy shop to prank my Aunt Chippy. And then I leave for the airport. I didn't gamble once. Not once, Harry.
Whoa.
Not $1.
Wow. So
is that the first time ever?
I think I might have done it once before, but I didn't even, it wasn't with a crew that like, you know, like to gamble and everything.
You're going with the wrong crew. What the hell?
No, it's the right crew. I came home with all my money. It was amazing. And what was not amazing was the stay at, and I don't care, I'll say it, the Rio. They did not set us up properly there. We stayed at the Rio, which I checked, Bri. You could have gotten a room for $26 a night.
Wow.
And we went to the Rio. Remember, guys, we had a staff party.
Yeah.
Last January, like 15 months ago, January.
Yep.
And that
Brian almost died.
Well, Harry roofied me. That's what happened.
Brian almost died.
That restaurant is cleared out.
Couldn't handle one gummy.
It's not Harry. I'm telling a fucking story. I'm building to the good part. I promise you, I know how to do this. I've done this before. But anyway, I went to the Italian restaurant where we had the party. Gone. Ghost town. It's a morgue there. It's out. It's out of commission. But I did revisit the scene of the crime where Harry did feed people illegal. I don't know what. And Brian, I was going to take a picture of the slot machine you were sitting at for 6.5 hours, but I couldn't get there.
Somehow anyway. I was able to stay awake. I don't know. At least I wasn't put in a wheelchair.
That's right. You were. Harry's brother was, right? Wheelchair.
Lightweight.
Yeah. I would not describe your brother as a lightweight. But anyway, all right. There you go. It was in Vegas. Did not gamble. I don't know. Maybe we lose this podcast because of that. But we got a lot to get to. We got college and pro basketball. We got NFL news, cuts all over the place. My God, this week leading up to free agency, Major League Baseball news. We're going to dive into some hockey stuff, Shark Tank. It's all coming up. I'm going to take a break. We'll be right back.
With Kizik hands-free shoes, motion sounds something like this.
McKissick helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy-on, easy-off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
All right, so we're going to do our Thursday play of the day in the NBA. We'll give you four picks. I will say the big thing that happened this week was the Celtics. And, you know, we went on the last podcast and I talked, Bri, about how the Celtics' odds to win the East have changed. And you liked them a few weeks ago. And I finally jumped on it this week. I got it at about even odds. And then it went to minus 125. And what do? They lose. That was a crusher that they lost to the Cavaliers. No Donovan Mitchell, right?
No.
Up 22 in the fourth, 40-1 odds on FanDuel, and Cleveland comes back. My God, Bri. How does something like that happen?
Well, look, if we're doing, have you guys ever won on one of those, right?
No.
Like, have you ever, but right? I mean, it would be nice to live bet. How many would you lose before you won one? But
are you saying if I ever won when a team, I have the team that's up 22 points, have they ever held on? I don't think so. I don't think that's happened. I don't know.
But I will say, if we were doing bet aches right now, I mean, I for some reason, like I was late to putting in some of my bets yesterday. I put in a parlay. The only one that didn't hit was the Celtics, which I jumped on. They were like minus 650, minus 700 at the time. Not minus like 10,000, which is basically what they ended up only to blow it at 41 odds. So
that's
nice,
crazy.
Nice by the Cavs. Yeah.
I don't know anyone who had 40-1, but Parlay Kid, it looks like it's like, all right, you could label these teams the best 1A, 1B.
Yeah,
and it doesn't matter in the NBA, right? Anyone could just blow a 22-point lead in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that's rare. But you would have thought the last team to do that would have been the Celtics at this point,
right?
Wow, especially with that without Mitchell for the Cavs.
This is after the Knicks beat up the Cavs after Brunson went out. This is just
Not only that, but also. Boston coming off the heels of what they did to Golden State. And then on Friday, dismantling Dallas as well. And then this happens. Bickerstaff, by the way, he's done one heck of a job for Cleveland, Darren. Yeah. You know, he's been, I think he's 34-1 for Coach of the Year. He's done a great job this year, the past couple of years.
Is that what's going on? I don't know. I feel like every year we have like five coaches that we want Coach of the Year, even though, Harry, you hate them all. I don't know how it happened. For Harry to promote anyone for Coach of the Year, I mean, that's, you guys should probably win it. If Harry's talking, you're up. All right, let's give our picks for Thursday. Heat go to Dallas. Dallas is favored by 4.5 points. These teams are going in different directions. Dallas lost by 17 to the Pacers the other day. I think this is where the swoon comes in. Luke is putting up 39 points at a triple-double. It didn't matter. It's getting to that point there. They've lost 5 out of 6. Miami, on the other hand, didn't look great against Detroit, but they've won 7 out of 8, and they're trying to stay out of that 7-10 mess in the East. They're 9-2 in their last 11 against the spread. I don't know. I mean, this is kind of like a rat line. I'm like, should the Heat be getting points? Should they be getting this many points? I'm going to take it, though. I'll fall for the trap, taking Miami +4.5. You're even braver, Harry. What are you doing here?
I like your play, Sal. I'm going to take the Heat to win by 1-10. You can get +270 on that. Look, 9 games over .500. The Heat are red hot right now. They're 7-1 straight up in their last 8. Dallas is tanking again, kind of like they did at the end of the last season. Just 1-5 straight up in their last 6. 4 of the last 6 wins for the Heat have been by 1-10. And the 2 that weren't, they won by 11. So I'm going to go 1-10 at +270.
You don't get paid for that one, but yeah.
You know.
What does tanking mean anymore? Like tanking, I think the way you said it is, they're losing every game now, right? But
they keep slipping in the West in the rankings.
Like you say, they're tanking again. Like last year, they really, really meant to lose and they lost. So, all right, Paulie Kid, take us on this T-Wolves ride, -2.
Yeah, I'll take the T-Wolves -2 at they're playing on the road against the Pacers. T-Wolves have beaten the Pacers in 5 straight contests, including a drubbing back in December in the lone game they played against each other. Homecoming for Mike Conley, Indianapolis native. always plays well there. Matt Conley's just a winning type of player. It's amazing. This is the top scoring O versus the top rated D. Give me the top rated D here every day of the week here, Sal. Defense wins, right, in these type of contests. And Minnesota's no slouch offensively either. But I think their defense will suffocate and stifle a struggling Halliburton, even though he played pretty well in his last game. But I think they really suffocate him and make life difficult for the Pacers. Let's take the T-Wolves minus two. They're playing to win that division of theirs.
You mean like to make it hard for him to shoot, right? Not actually rag over his face.
Right.
Brian, give us your pick. Play today, Thursday.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bulls plus seven at the Warriors. And, you know, not really sure what to make of this Bulls season because, I mean, they haven't been great, but they are likely stuck in that 9 or 10 spot. They really can't move up. They're likely going to make it into that play-in game here, but they've been competitive. And look, Coby White, who had it in fantasy, a phenomenal season. And if you ask me, his odds at 7-1, 7.5-1 for most improved, you got to look at that a little bit right now. But all that being said, the Bulls have been good against the spread on the road. They are 17-13. Whereas the Warriors, right, it's different from recent years. They're great against the spread on the road. Only 13-17-1 against the spread at home here. So give me the Chicago Bulls at plus seven.
All right. You mentioned that most improved award. And Tyrese Maxey is the favorite at minus 600.
Right. Harry, what'd you get him at to start the season?
Yeah, I believe +850.
Did. Okay. Yeah, well, he has like what's called a delayed concussion, I guess. I don't know. It seems like he'll be back. But let me say this. I might know a voter who's not going with Maxey, who might be thinking along the same lines as you.
Look, White at 7-1. Look, last year, this is a
plus
guy
has 750 now.
Plus 750. He hasn't performed well in prior years. He hasn't been good, right? Last year, he averaged nine points. This year, he's close to 20. There's such a significant jump for him that while Maxey's been great, and his numbers are good. I mean, obviously, without Embiid there, they've been losing a lot of games. They could fall into potential, you know, this playing game here. But, you know, his points are up 5 or 6. It's really just more because of his output is up. His field goal percentage, his 3-point shooting is actually down this year. But, I mean, again, it was a great pick by Harry. Regardless, I just like White's odds right now. Uh-huh. I mean, if you already took Maxey, I would probably take White here just to kind of double up.
What do you think, Harry? Are you going to do that? Are you going to hedge against the bet you didn't make? It's going to be interesting.
You know what? Brian makes great points there. Definitely, it's been fantastic. But I'm still thinking overall for the whole season, what Maxey's done, he really does deserve it. And he's just every single year, he just keeps getting better and his numbers keep getting better.
Pauly kid, I didn't even mean to go over this category, but you like someone else who we haven't mentioned in that most improved area, right?
Well, I think he just generated a lot of buzz off his performance from last night. Sengun from the Rockets dropping 45 and 16 on Wemby. What a phenomenal performance. And if you look at this kid's numbers, I mean, first of all, one, he's like 21 or 22 years old. His numbers have gone up from 9 points a game to 14 points a game to over 21 points a game now. He's been phenomenal, I think. And the Rockets are a much improved team this year. I don't know. You know, I know they're not going to make the playoffs, but this is a team that has taken some strides. So, Sal, he's averaging 21, 9, and like 5 assists a game, 1.2 steals a game, a block game. This guy could surprise people, especially after the buzz he generated the other night against the Spurs. And I don't see a letdown from him. He seems to really be coming into his own right now. And to me, this is who the award is for. Like
for him?
For guys like him, right? Maxey is going from a very good player to slightly better than a very good player. Right. Like I don't know how that works though. Like to me, it's a guy who takes a significant jump. Significant.
I mean, we've
jump.
Seen John Morant win this, and he left it. He didn't even accept it.
He didn't even want it.
Yeah, right.
He didn't. I think Maxey would be almost in the same boat.
All right. Either way, I'm looking down. I don't see my guy, Zion Williamson. I keep betting him for most improved. Nah, 95 to 1. And stop.
He said today he'll do the dunk contest if he gets voted into the All-Star game.
Create some buzz. If he makes the All-Star game, he's going to be in a dunk contest. Oh, and also, I'll shovel your driveway. What else is he going to promise? It's so stupid. Hey, guys, we're doing Race to 10 on Thursday. We're going to do it. And this is when people are listening on Thursday. Denver, Boston, none of us picked them that game, but is Boston, I'm seeing an early line, is -1. And the Race to 10, this is what we do. We bet a team to score 10 before the other team does, and we yell and scream like crazy, and it's almost always 9-8. We're losing, and we have the ball, or the other team has the ball. We have to decide who we're taking for Thursday's game. You'll be able to see us on Twitter. We're going to get together. We're going to do this again Thursday night. That's right, tonight, Denver, Boston. Brian, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to warn people. We're very streaky with these. I feel like we'll lose 3 in a row. We'll win 4 in a row, and then we'll lose another 3. I don't know what it's going to be like this year, but we're starting it back up. Go ahead.
Well, who do you think I'm taking? I am going to take the Celtics, Sal. We're going to take the Celtics Race to 10. Look, the last time they played, in Boston, Nuggets actually won the Race to 10. But let me tell you, like, the Celtics, for whatever reason, on the road, getting off to really hot starts to start. So they've won the Race to 10 in 8 of their last 9 road games here, Sal. And then coming off of that really bad performance, right? Last night, I think they go into this game, right? They lost the game to the Nuggets. They want to get off to a good start again here. I really like them. Pretty much a pick 'em. Right.
All right. I like Denver lost their last game. All right. I like that. Yeah. I think we get it at -120. Harry, you all right? You're not saying anything.
I'm okay with that. I like that. I like that. After Boston collapsed against Cleveland, they bounced back against them.
Okay. Now, it's very difficult to win these things for us. It's even more difficult to sync it up so that Darren's not seeing the 10th point minute and a half before the rest of us. So I look forward to that. Thursday night, Race to 10. Check it out. We'll promote it on Twitter. We are going to take a break, and a lot of NFL news. We'll get to it when we return. All right, so now we're in that week-long period where I think free agency starts March 13th, which is a week from Wednesday, just yesterday or today, depending on when you're listening to this. But also, like, Denver gave Russell Wilson the okay to talk to teams. So it's like, all right, free agency's March 13th, and I swear March 10th we're going to hear, like, Russell Wilson signed with Atlanta, or Russell Wilson signed with Minnesota, right? We're gonna hear it. I'm like, whoa, I thought it, how does it start? So anyway, there's a lot of weird stuff going on. Also weird is the guys that get cut. Like, the Bills were very active on Wednesday. They cut Jordan Poirier. They cut Poirier. I'm thinking of Dustin Poirier. Jordan Poirier, Mitch Morse, the center. Tre'Davious White, who had been injured for much of last year. So it makes sense in some ways, but it is weird, Paulie, kid, to see these guys just released. Like, some of these guys are like the 7th and 8th best at their position, right? Like, if the 8th best second baseman got cut, you'd be like, what the hell happened?
Sure,
there?
That's the crazy thing. And I think we're going to see it with the Cowboys, right? With, like, Tyron Smith, probably.
Yeah.
And he's probably still technically one of the top at that position.
Right.
But, you know, I guess, you know, what we don't know is, you know, Tyron Smith missed a lot of practices. He's always like a game time decision, right? The same with these. And I think these teams, Sal, and I think the Patriots during their heyday were always good at kind of getting a guy through his peak years and then letting them go.
Sure.
Right when they were on the downside of that cliff, right? Like, on the way down, even though it might have been just a shade down, they always kind of knew when it was time, when the salary was not going to match the production, and they knew when to cut ties. And I think we see more and more teams doing that now. So it kind of makes sense. Don't ask me to explain how the cap works, because I feel like some teams sign 1 million people and they could sign anybody they want. Every year I hear Dallas has no money to sign anybody. How does it all work? I have no idea, but I guess it just doesn't match up with the production. Some guys are just cut loose, and probably better to cut a little early than late, right?
Yeah. Probably so like the better. Eagles are that. Maybe it's just because they're Cowboys rivals, so I cry about it. But the Eagles, we're almost like, how the hell does that team stay under the cap? It used to be the 49ers, but so like the Bills today or Wednesday, they saved $37 million by cutting these guys. And they were $40 million over the cap. So they're fine. They're right back at it. But I think Parley Kid with the Tyron Smith and the guys like that, the point is like both things you're right could be correct. It could be, yes, we're going to miss that guy. And no, it wasn't worth giving him the money you're going to see him get. Right. So I think both things, I think
that can be true.
It's such a weird business, but I think that's the case. Now, the other thing the Bills did is they signed Mitch Trubisky. Is that right, Mikey Meatballs? That's a done deal. Yep. And I'm glad because I'm so sick of talking about Mitch Trubisky. So if he could just be a second string for sure behind one of the best quarterbacks. Now, this only means Josh Allen's getting hurt, unfortunately. And so now Mitch Trubisky is going to be back in our lives. But Bry, right?
Back.
Forget with a year break from Mitch Trubisky talk.
Right. Back with the Bills, right? Here
is back with the Bills.
Yeah.
Right.
Back with the. Yeah. That's fine. I mean, also, yeah, we just need the Steelers. It's funny. For as much as I hate the Steelers, we just need them to get a better quarterback.
Right. We saw what. So they have Arthur Smith as the OC, right? And they're going to roll the dice and see.
Guys, congrats. Yeah. Speaking of cap, the Cowboys have negative $10.6 million this month.
Negative 10? Yeah, but they'll Ryan, do.
Smith, Gallup, gone.
They'll cut a cheerleader and it'll be back up
there. It's fine. Crazy, yeah. I mean, these guys are smart enough. They know. It's just, you're not going to be able to sign many new guys. That's all.
Now, Harry, the Seahawks had some moves too. Adam's gone. He was tough injury-wise, right? There's talk about maybe him going back to the Jets, but I don't know. Diggs gone and Disley gone. It's a lot of all-pro years between those guys, right? But all in the rearview mirror. Course.
Yeah. I mean, look, Diggs was fantastic when he was in Seattle and he's going to be missed. 18 picks, five years. He had 60 tackles or more in four of those. But really, no big loss if you really look at the Jamal Adams situation. You know, when they signed, it was a big deal. He had a great year in his first year in 2016. He had 9.5 sacks. From that point on, after his first year in Seattle, 3 years down the road, he had zero sacks in the Seattle Seahawks uniform. Yeah. Played 10 games out. You mentioned two injuries. 10 games he played total in the last 2 years combined.
Yeah. All right. They have the vision. Maybe we'll hit it next week. They have the vision odds up. There was one that jumped out at me. I'll give it you right now. NFC South, Harry. Who's the division favorite?
Tampa Bay.
Falcons.
Yeah, it is the Falcons, and kind of by a lot, too.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. And they don't, this is without a quarterback. All these quarterbacks suck. Whoever the Falcons get, it's going to be better. You know, Baker did well, got him to the playoffs, but Atlanta plus 140, Tampa plus 240, Saints plus 280, Carolina 7-1.
Crazy. We're sleeping on Tampa again, I guess, but we'll see.
I know. Why should they be that much worse? All right, listen. There's going to be a lot of turnover. Like Atlanta won't have a new running back, I don't think, but about eight teams will have a different running back because this is the most bountiful running back class, I think, in terms of free agency I've seen in a long time. Josh Jacobs, Bry,
from
the Raiders.
Yep.
He's going to be a free agent. Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, Tony Pollard from the Cowboys, Eckler, Swift, Zach Moss, A.J. Dillon, Dobbins, Edwards, Madison. Good Lord. Harry, if you who do you want on your team? If you were to have a team, oh, man, this is tough. Okay. All right. So most people root for a team, right? Let me try to explain this to you. I'm trying to rank 1 through 3 who I would want on my team. Who would you want?
First, it would be Saquon Barkley. I think he wants to prove he's not done yet. Has a lot left in the tank for the right situation, right O-line. I think possibly Baltimore or Dallas would fit Barkley just fine. You mentioned Jacobs, too, just 26 years old. And let's not forget, just 2 years removed, he had 2,000 yards combined. He can be very a very big commodity to any team going to, and he's still got plenty of talent left in the tank, and he can catch the ball too. 40 receptions over his last four seasons. He's at least 40, close to it. And Eckler, I'll take Austin Eckler. Last year wasn't a great year for him. Wasn't a great season for all the Chargers, but like Jacobs, a much better season 2 years ago when he had 1,600 yards, 18 touchdowns, still capable, Sal, of producing at a high level, I think he is.
Yeah, I look at all these guys, Bri, and I'm like, I could see why they're not getting paid. I think we're in too many fantasy leagues because I feel like all these guys have let me down. I'm like,
yeah.
What was Josh Jacobs? I look at his yards per carry. Right? I know. But he's also just 1 year removed from a dynamite season. So, All right, Bri, I'll give the floor to you. Who are your top three?
Well, look, I do think you'd have to go with Barkley first. And look, I'm not the biggest Saquon fan, but I will say there is something to like what McCaffrey did for the 49ers. Is there a team that Barkley can kind of, a top team? Mm-hmm. It would be fun to see some of these guys on different teams, because I do think Barkley on the right team, right system, will fit that well. So I think he'd have to be one. Jacobs, I think, again, has to be two, just because he still probably has one or two more solid years in him. Maybe not necessarily great. Last year, I think a lot of it had to do with the Raiders' offensive line play was not good running the ball. So, and then three, right, I'd probably say Swift, because like he's still plenty young enough. He had a good year. I would like to see what Henry does on another team, but you know, he's starting to get older. But the other guys, Sal, if you're telling me the other guys, Eckler was really slow last year. He was bad. I mean, if you had him in fantasy and watched them or a Chargers fan, he was not good. Whereas I think it was Jacobs was still solid. I think it was more their line. Eckler just looks slow. The rest of the guys, I'd rather take a draft pick. I'd rather draft somebody third and fourth.
Yeah, they had exactly the same yards per carry. And I know that's not the you have to go by who had the worst line. Jacobs and Eckler had exactly 3.5.
Yeah.
Pollard kid, our guy Pollard, I just don't think he's the same. Not that we're going to re-sign him after all this, but I don't know. Who are your three? And then I'll give you mine.
Well, if you're asking me as a Cowboys fan, is that what you're asking me? Or as like just like I could get anybody regardless.
Sure.
I mean, because obviously, you know, like, I think Brian nailed the rankings with like Barkley, Jacobs, and Swift really being the three premier guys here. And obviously, if you say who would help the Cowboys the most, you're probably talking about Barkley, right? So, but I also got to be realistic here. As Harry just mentioned, the Cowboys are, you know, they're over the cap. They're going to make some cuts. I don't think they can sign a running back to a hefty price here, right? So I'm going to be realistic with what I say here. All right. So I probably, as Brian said, you might just get a guy in the fourth round who will be as good as basically anybody you have just mentioned right now. So it's very, very conceivable that that could happen. I think Eckler's washed. I just think he looked, he was super slow this year. Something, he said he had a bad ankle or something like that. Here's one thing we learned about running backs. When was the last time we saw a running back have a bad year and bounce back with a great year? It almost never happens.
Yeah.
It almost never happens. Once a running back hits a wall, it is usually over for them. So I think as a Cowboys fan, I'll be modest here. I mean, at some point I might say, and I was all over him this year, I didn't think Pollard was very good.
Right.
I don't think Pollard will be worse next year. And he knows the system. Mm-hmm. I think he would sign a very reasonable contract with the Cowboys. I don't know who is going to pay Tony Pollard. So I would just say, bring Pollard back. I think his teammates like him. I think Zach Moss could be a big, big bargain this year. He had a huge game against the Ravens this year. I believe early in the season, once Taylor came back, he didn't have nearly as many carries, but that might be a good thing because he doesn't have a lot of wear and tear on him. And when he does play, he's pretty effective. I think you could roll the dice on a Dobbins, because when Dobbins plays, he's always good. You'd have to draft somebody to go along with that.
Right.
But he might be a guy that you're willing to roll the dice on. Injuries or not, because he might just be on a 1 year.
I think all these guys are 1 year. Does anyone get a couple years on this, Brian?
Maybe Barkley 2 years, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know. Yeah, I'd be surprised.
Sal, but that's what we're saying. Look at what we're saying. We're not the experts, but.
Yeah, we are.
Okay. We might be. right, but like we're even saying like you can't spend money on a running back.
Yeah, I know.
It's because all these guys were saying
it's fantasy come to life. It's like
rolling the dice, but roll like you just mentioned there, rolling the dice on Dobbins. That's really really risky.
Well, I prefaced it by saying you'd have to have somebody else in the
get
fold.
A lot of money. Yeah,
and he'll be cheap as could be. I mean, what is he going to get? I mean, and I don't know. I guess I like Moss. I think Pollard, but ideally Barkley would be the guy. Swift looked like he was had had some really good games this year, and then he kind of faded towards the end. But he doesn't have a lot of carries in his career either.
He's young.
I think that's what you got to look at.
I think he's
how
who
many
I put
carries
number one.
Do these guys have?
I think I put Swift number one. I know Barkley. I just value wise, I think he's going to get a substantial amount less than Barkley. And I think he can carry the load. He's also 25 years old, Swift, you know, over 1,000 yards rushing in 16 games. So, but the only thing is, was it that Eagles offensive line, right? Pretty good, pretty intact. Maybe that's why he had 4.6 yards a carry, which I think is tops out of all those names I mentioned. All right. I think we did a good job with that. Should we start over? No. That's a good list, though, Brian. I mean, I don't remember those guys, you know, I mean, that's two divisions worth of running backs who are going to start for teams they weren't on last year.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
I'm going to ask you, Yankee fans, Red Sox Lucas Giolito, big pickup, may miss the season, both a partially torn UCL and a flexor strain. Paul, does this make you happy as a Yankees fan?
No. Giolito doesn't scare me, Sal. I don't think...
Not now, he doesn't.
Listen, the bottom line is probably 2 months from now, the Yankees will have three starting pitchers injured. So losing Giolito now for the Red Sox, there's still free agents out there that can be signed if they really need to bring somebody in for him. So I don't feel bad for the Red Sox. I feel bad for Giolito. I mean, this guy's probably a competitor. I believe he played out as a California kid, right? Aren't there three guys, pros from his high school team?
Yeah.
I believe.
I think Archie's football team played their football team. I forget what the other two offhand who they were. But it's weird seeing the Red Sox. I know it hasn't been the same for them for a few years. But 18-1 to win the AL East right there at the bottom.
Jeez. I mean, not even close. That's such a huge number. Oh, my God.
Plus 650. I know. I know, and the Yanks, your Yanks favorite, plus 120, so much pressure.
Well, not according to Boone. He said, you know, the Orioles are the team to, you know, that looks like teams will be chasing this year.
What was the Orioles number?
I'll send them a screen grab.
What's the Orioles number, Sal?
Orioles plus 230, Blue Jays plus 450. Yeah,
that's a good number, though, for the Orioles. It's a good number.
The O's?
Yeah.
All right. Long season. I'm just saying there's a lot of pressure on the Yankee fans. I don't normally look at it like that. A lot of pressure on me. We go to hockey now. Mikey Meatballs, you convinced me to bet Austin Matthews for, the Hart Trophy? And just in the last week, like Nathan McKinnon's gone nuts. He gets like 6 goals in 5 games. He's the favorite now to win this Hart Trophy.
Damn. Yeah, slight favorite, I think, right? Plus 185 to plus 195?
I thought it was a little... I thought I was out of it.
85-95.
All right. Do you still like the pick?
I do. I think if Matthews gets to 70 goals, he's going to get
that's the number. Yep.
What's the matter, Harry?
So you got to root for Matthews to score.
I will say this, Mikey Meatballs. Matthews does have 53 goals, but he doesn't even lead his own team in points. William Nylander has 83. Matthews has 79. Meanwhile, McKinnon, last 10 games, he scored in all 10. And has 20 points. Like Sal, you said he's been on fire. He's got 20 points over the last 10 games.
Say something about that. One thing you have to realize too is McKinnon plays in the West. It's a different game in the West compared to the East. That's number one.
Right.
Toronto against McKinnon's West, 23-6-2 this year against that Western division.
All right, I like
that. Right. So, I mean, if people look in those terms, you know, they've dominated the West. Matthews has 24 goals in 30 games against the West.
Great. Good.
So to me, you know, the numbers are always going to be a little bit more inflated in the West because they play a little bit more wide open games out there. And, you know, Matthews is very popular around the NHL, at least probably amongst, you know, Toronto Riders, and et cetera. So yeah. 70 goals, I think, is the magic number. I think Mikey Meatballs has that right on.
All right. So there was a FanDuel thing. Toronto's playing right now. It's 1-1. But there was a FanDuel special that he would get to 70 goals. What was the odds? Did we see that?
I'm not sure. But there is another league special right now for McKinnon.
Yeah.
To record one plus in each of his 41 home games, which is 8-1.
Maybe I'll do that as a hedge.
Wow. I was going to say that would be a good hedge.
That's a fun one. And so how many, what is it, 10 home games
left? I think he's got a little bit of 10 or 11 left.
All right.
Huh.
Okay.
It's interesting.
Yeah, I'm looking at that. All right. Okay. All right. I'll be happy with Matthews for now.
What happens if he plays 40 games?
That's it.
Yeah, I think Matthews back in late January was plus 750 to score 70 goals.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, no, it was like it might have been like 190
and eight days ago I'm reading he was minus 125.
Wow.
To get 70 goals.
Aaron, you have an update. Now, we did something. We picked who would score the most points, what team would score the most points in March, right?
Yep.
And I feel like it was just a throwaway topic just to waste some time.
I loved it.
Now you're updating it. Like every line shift, any line change, you're updating it. So go ahead. What is it now?
Yeah. Well, me and Parlay Kid each gave out the Edmonton Oilers. And they are 3-0 in March.
Six total points.
And we gave it out, Darren, at 6-1. And FanDuel's so great, they update that you can still bet it and they update the lines as accordingly. And now Edmonton is the favorite at plus 185.
Wow.
Brian took the Jets. they're 2-1. They've got 4 points. They're the second favorite at plus 410. And I did mention, by the way, I did mention the Vancouver Canucks at 100-1, who lead the Pacific Division. They're 2-0 in their two games. They got 4 points. They're down from 100-1 to 42-1.
All right. It's March 6th.
Okay. March 6th. Right?
That's so many days left. Meatballs, there were some trades? Anything worth looking at odds-wise?
Well, the Oilers added a few guys. The Knights added a few guys. And the Avalanche also added a few guys. So it's probably a little bit to move the needle. It goes well for their Parlay Kid and Harry's picks for the Oilers to keep adding points.
Okay. All right. Knights 10-1. Oilers plus 750. Panthers still favored now at 7-1. All right, listen, let's take a break. Sharp Tank, these guys have weekend picks. We'll be right back. All right, let's do Sharp Tank. These guys each give me a pick, each member of the D3. I jump on one of their picks. I buy it from them, much like that Mark Cuban show, Sharp Tank. He was not tanking when he would host that show, I don't think, but it's actually hard to tell. Harry, you are just in love with these soccer parlays. You bet 1.5 goals. So that's adjusted. Normally it's like 2.5, right? Is the over under versus EPL game or whatever. And you're going over 1.5 and you pick like 3 or 4 games. Is that what you're doing again? You lost on this last week when you gave this out.
I lost on one game. And that was the game I liked over 2.5. And it was only 1-0 Liverpool versus Nottingham Forest. So that was my one loser. But the week before that, I won. So I'm going to do it again here. I'm going to mix those out. English Premier League with the Major League Soccer over 1.5. So I'm going to do 3 games and the parlay pays minus 119. Let's start with the MLS. I'm going to take Real Salt Lake and the Colorado Rapids over 1.5. 8 of the last 9 Real Salt Lake matchups, 2 goals or more. I'm going to go Inter Miami and Montreal over 1.5. Look, the other day, Miami won 5-0. One of my favorite soccer players of all time, Luis Suarez from Uruguay. Had 2 goals. Remember, two goals in that. And Messi's in Montreal. It should be a big performance for him against Montreal. So I'm going to go over 1.5 there. He's been fantastic for them. And in the English Premier League, give me Crystal Palace and Luton Town over 1.5 in their last 5 meetings each other. 2 goals or more scored.
There you go, Luton Town. All right. What an easy one. Man City today over Copenhagen. That was a fun one.
What did you have that with?
I had that with 3 things from yesterday that won. So, nice. By the way, it's a little scary because they didn't need to win. This is their second matchup. And
always got to.
Yet they were ahead by two already. So
I mean, that's where it gets difficult.
Right.
Like you they really. Cry. I mean. You've
to
really...
bet the draw is usually the way to go on that second one when it doesn't matter. But anyway, all right. So you got the soccer out of the way, Bri. Give us yours now. We'll be giving UFC picks $299 on Cousin Sal's winning weekend. But this is just an extra one you're throwing.
Yeah, it's just an extra one because I love the card so much. It's really good. I mean, obviously the main card, Sal, is really good. But even the prelims have some good fights on it. And I'm going to take this is the final match of the prelim. I'm going to take Almeida over Curtis Blaydes at -113. It's a pick'em. It's a pick'em either way. But look, Almeida is here in this heavyweight division. It's a weak division at this point, right? In general, I mean, when you watch some of these heavyweights fight, there's only a few that you enjoy watching. And while Blaydes he's a good fighter. He's well-rounded. Although, you know, his chin is not the best, which might not hurt him in this fight anyway. But usually with Blaydes, significant advantage of fighting against heavyweights because they have no ground game, right? He keeps going up against these guys who can't wrestle. That is not going to be the case in this matchup. Blaydes is actually going to be the one who has to keep this match on his feet, where he actually will have an advantage. But look, Blaydes coming off a knockout loss. Almeida is the top guy now, 5-0 in the UFC. He's looked dominant. The only question mark with him would be is he only weighs like 230, 235 pounds. So he might be giving up 30 pounds here, but he's looked dominant against the Rosenstrukes, against Derek Lewis here the last couple of fights. So I'm going to pick him. I like that this is it's a pick him here. So,
okay. And this is like, I mean, this is a good fight and it's the prime prelim.
Yeah, you'll get this. This one will probably start like, I'm sure 9:15.
Okay. And I broke your streak, Bryce. So I don't know what lost a sharp tackle.
That was my own fault. We didn't have a lot to pick. And I decided to pick something that probably isn't even considered a sport.
Yeah,
Jake Paul,
but this
to
is
go
what
distance.
It's
and I know. I might have jinxed myself.
Look to soccer, Brian.
Barley Kid, we got a fight here. This is a fun one. Saturday night's going to be good.
What boggles my mind here is that we got Ngannou fighting Joshua, right?
Yeah.
So I didn't even know this fight was happening. How is this even possible? This is a headliner type of fight, especially out of what we saw from Ngannou back. What was
against
that?
Fury.
October. So against Fury. So I'm going to be taking the underdog here in Ngannou at +310. Because let me ask you something, Sal. If Fury was fighting Joshua, what would the odds be in that fight?
I don't know. I've gotten this wrong because I got the Jake Paul question wrong the other day, I think. But
Bri, what do you think it would be?
What was that there?
Joshua Fury. What's the odds in that fight if they were fighting?
Yeah, Fury's
220.
Yeah, what? Fury.
Okay.
Fury minus 200.
So Fury's not a huge sizable favorite, but a pretty decent favorite in that fight, right? And Ngannou won on one of the scorecards against Fury.
Right.
And lost by a point and 3 points on the other two scorecards. Now, I know styles and things can be different in fights, but I don't think this should be that wide of a gap being based on Ngannou's performance, which was only about 4 months ago, Sal, which I think helps Ngannou a lot.
Yeah.
And I think for Ngannou here, a win kind of keeps him making big money fights, right? A loss here, doesn't he have to take a little bit of a back seat now? Maybe to some other guys. So this is a huge fight for him to cement himself to getting some big money fights. So I think so it means a little bit more to him. And he showed that he was capable. He put Fury on the ground once. I don't think Josh was I'm not saying he's a bad, he's a good heavyweight, but I'm not sure how rough and rugged he is. I know he'd kick my rear end in about 12 seconds, but
of course.
2 seconds.
No, but I had him against Usyk both times, right, when he lost. I had him against Ruiz. Like, but I guess he's won since, three since, which surprises me.
But he's going to be scared of Ngannou's power, Sal. He is going to be frightened of his power.
The only thing I'll say is I'm going to sneak up on him. Like, I think it snuck up on Fury. True. I think Fury's like, oh, this guy's not a boxer. Eventually I'll have my way with him. But I think you're right. Plus 310 is too big a spread. But, I'm going with you here. You won last week. I think you may have put too much time into this is the only thing. You had Rosenstrike last week, but you did it. You put the whole thing together.
I cooked it up in like 25 seconds. I know. This, like I said, I'm intrigued by this fight, though.
All right.
I think with Ngannou, too, should be in pretty good shape because it hasn't been that long since he's fought.
Right.
You know, and I know 10 rounds could be a lot for him, but he's done it once. I think he knows he could do it again.
Yeah.
This just shows you what has happened to the heavyweight division. This is a Friday night fight. This is Friday night.
Oh, it's Friday. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Friday night.
Isn't that crazy, bro?
Like that you're going to watch it. I know. They couldn't have found.
Wait a minute. Oh, where is this fight? It's in Great Britain.
Yeah, I forget. Yeah,
it's 3 Pacific time Friday.
Yeah.
God, 6 Eastern.
Good luck.
So they're going late there then.
Good luck with that. Right. It's just ridiculous that they couldn't have really fought.
Late. Yeah.
Why wasn't this last, right?
Right.
Why wasn't
most
this
punches
last
thrown,
Saturday?
Joshua minus 650. Most punches landed, Joshua minus 850. Weird.
He's definitely going to throw more punches. That is for sure.
Yeah.
Do you know, though, think about this.
What if he just gets walloped in the first round, first 10 seconds?
How smart is this for Ngannou to have made this? Because he's making over $10 million for this fight.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Crazy. Like, that's nuts compared to the UFC money.
He gets to wear
right?
shoes. It's great. Yeah. The no distance is minus 410. So
does he have to?
I need to wear one. You can go one and one. All right. Parlikin, I'm going to go with you.
Oh, no. You were about to say mine.
I was going to say, Brian, I'm going to go with your brother. That's what I was going to say. Plus 310. Francis Ngannou. Yeah, that'll be fun. He screwed me so many times, Joshua. Speaking of getting screwed so many times, Cousin Sal against all odds at gmail.com. We got an email. Harry, it's from an anonymous. It says anonymous. It says
anonymous. Should be good.
Harry in Utah. Dear Sal, I just want to let you know that it did indeed snow in Utah when Harry was here on Saturday. But that said, Harry is totally lying when he said the cell phone service was out. This is about as true as Mahomes having 56 picks called back because of a penalty.
53.
With a functional brain knows that Harry gave out losers and he used the storm as an excuse to not take accountability for his terrible
Bingo.
Picks. There you go.
Bingo.
Why would my father-in-law write such a thing about me?
It's not your father-in-law, but it might be someone you know. Okay. It might be someone you've had.
Well, mother-in-law, right? She would have said Ken, though, right? She would have said Ken.
No, I think you guys are right around it.
Maybe so.
Man, bingo.
Thank you. Just nailed it. There you go. Anyway, Harry, caught in a lie. There you go. Doesn't sell against all odds. @gmail.com. That's going to do it. Hey, watch Kenny Smith and these guys at D3 on Cousin Sal's winning weekend Friday morning, FanDuel TV. That's where it is. We're going to have Oscar picks. We're going to have, what are we doing, guys? I mean, we just did it, so I can tell you what we're doing. What are we doing? Kenny Smith will be on. Carolina Duke, we're going to go over. We'll go over a team to make or miss the playoffs in the NBA. Lots to handle.
More UFC, Sal.
We're gonna dominate that card, that discussion. That's it. Against all odds, another episode. Mikey Meatballs in the D3. I'm Sal, saying so long and happy handicap. You must be 21 or older and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. You have a gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Kentucky, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit
ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700, or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPENY in New York.